The Politics of Physics. How amazing that physics, in discovering the miraculous world of the quantum, simultaneously constructs a don't-go-there zone regarding what we are and are not allowed to talk about. This fact alone, a collectively shared defense mechanism, points to an underlying psychological issue within the physics community. From the psychological point of view, the question naturally arises, why is mainstream physics so threatened? It should be pointed out that issues regarding consciousness have not been refuted, but merely rejected by those in positions of power and influence, which seems less a scientific process than a reactionary political and psychological one. The fact of there being an unspoken elephant in the physics living room, of there being a mysterious secret that cannot be spoken about, are all signs seen from the family systems theory point of view, which sees the world as a whole interrelated and inseparable system of relationships, of a dysfunction in the family system of the physics community. It is not that physicists are merely disinterested in the appearance of consciousness in their experiments. On the contrary, they have become aggressively/belligerently disinterested in the metaphysical implications of their own theory. It is as if they have developed a willful ignorance, impervious to the implications of their own data. If we view the physics community as if it were an individual, it has an emotional charge analogous to that of a subatomic particle and is reacting, energetically speaking, in an almost violent way against something in its own discoveries that is being triggered within itself. Often, the greatest discoveries in physics are found by following with unbiased and open-minded curiosity the one anomalous thread in the prevailing theory, in this case, what to do about consciousness, that doesn't seem to fit. Interestingly, the current reaction of the physics community is the polar opposite to this approach. It is actively choosing to look away from what is in its closet, from the thread that is protruding through the cracks in its theory. And yet, if this thread is pulled, it could potentially unravel not only the field of physics' ideas about the world, but physicists' ideas about themselves as well. Jung comments, "New points of view are not as a rule discovered in territory that is already known, but in out-of-the-way places that may even be shunned because of their ill repute." The lineage holders of corporate/academic physics are like gatekeepers who quarantine the radical philosophical implications of quantum theory from the rest of us. To quote Einstein, restricting the body of knowledge to a small group deadens the philosophical spirit of a people and leads to spiritual poverty. It is not something solely within the individual psyches of physicists that is resisting the liberating perspectives of quantum theory. It is important to view the physics community within the wider context of the institutional structures in which it operates. From the point of view of the prevailing power structure, which funds the overwhelming majority of physics research in the United States, in both corporations and universities, the insights emerging from quantum physics represent a tremendously disruptive new knowledge that could easily threaten the status quo. Quantum physics is pointing at the primacy of consciousness for how our moment-by-moment experience manifests, thereby illuminating the immensity of our inherent power to create our world more consciously. If recognized and understood by the general population, the revelations of quantum physics would be naturally used for the liberating purposes for which this knowledge is tailor-made. One might even think that the creator of quantum physics, the universe itself, designed it in order to free humanity from the shackles of the spiritless, soulless, deadening paradigm of fragmentation, that is, the Newtonian classical worldview that has promulgated, limiting, and outright false doctrines about the nature of who we are. The revolution of quantum physics is occurring primarily within the mind, and once its revelations are communicated in readily understood language, metaphors, and symbols so as to be transmitted to an ever-widening circle of people, the possibilities are truly unlimited. The liberating ideas of the newly emerging quantum gnosis are not just catchy, but catching, in that they are contagious. Once sufficiently ignited and set aflame in the psyche of humanity, the revelations of quantum physics can and will spread like wildfire, virally and non-locally propagating themselves through the collective unconscious of our species. A true reformation of the world may be the result. The overwhelming majority of the physics field, however, has been co-opted by the corporate powers that be to become an instrument for their agenda. For the corporate body politic The bottom line of generating profits is what's important, after all. Its main priority is focused on whatever activity is the most readily translatable into money. Corporatized physics equates truth and value with utility. Since it is interested in manipulating and gaining control over the seemingly outer world, its focus has to do with issues related to the acquisition of raw power. Professor Ravi Ravindra writes, "We should keep in mind that a majority of all scientists and technologists in the world actually work for the military or for the war machine in one form or another. Like a compass always pointing north, however, pure physics is solely interested in truth and nothing but the truth, no matter where the quest for truth leads, and is thus deeply grounded in natural philosophy and metaphysics." Speaking of two such truth-seeking physicists, Einstein and Bohr, scientist and Nobel laureate George Wald says, "There were no fences around them, no boundaries beyond which they wouldn't go. They were interested in everything interesting. I thought sometimes of a man walking a puppy. The man walks a straight line, but the puppy's into everything. And they both went like the puppy." Many modern-day corporatized physicists, however, toe the party line. One of the reasons corporatized physicists tend to shy away from the truth of what quantum physics is revealing is because this truth is so alien to the world of everyday physics that they have become used to. As Feynman points out, science is a long history of learning how not to fool ourselves. Unfortunately, a large part of the corporatized physics community has truly fooled itself in dismissing the deeper philosophical implications of quantum theory as being meaningless. The philosopher Soren Kierkegaard wrote, "There are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to believe what is true." Mainstream physicists, to the extent they still believe in a proven-to-be-false objective reality and refuse to come to terms with the dreamlike nature of reality, have struck out on both counts. The real heart and soul of physics has become marginalized and devalued by the existing power structure and turned into an alternative fringe part of physics. This is analogous to what commonly takes place in organized religion, when the radical liberating gnosis of salvation that lies at the esoteric heart of its spiritual doctrines becomes banished as heretical. The original revelations are typically replaced by a distorted version and then monopolized by the powers that be to support the self-preserving interests of the hierarchical institution of the prevailing church. Speaking about the new ideas emerging in physics concerning the role of consciousness, Josephson writes, "These ideas are not well represented in the standard literature, probably in the last analysis, because they represent the same kind of threat to current scientific dogmas as scientific discoveries have presented to religious dogmas in the past." To quote Sir John Eccles, "Arrogance is one of the worst diseases of scientists. It is important to realize that dogmatism has now become a disease of scientists rather than theologians." There is intense pressure in the mainstream, academic, and corporately funded physics community to remain politically correct and not talk about consciousness. Physicists who come out of the closet and out themselves as being interested in consciousness seriously endanger their credibility, reputation, funding for their research, and employment options. To quote author Upton Sinclair, "It is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on his not understanding it." Physicists who talk about the mystery of consciousness are condescendingly disparaged, derided as spiritual or superstitious, labeled unprofessional, seen as New Age hippies, viewed as having psychological hang-ups, and snubbed and treated as pariahs by their own community. The revelations of quantum physics regarding consciousness has created a seeming impasse in the field of physics. To quote Schrödinger, "The urge to find a way out of this impasse ought not to be dampened by the fear of incurring the wise rationalist's mockery." In breaking the unspoken vow of silence and speaking about what is not supposed to be spoken about, consciousness, genuine adepts of the alchemical art of physics attract the unconscious shadow projections of their colleagues. To quote the esteemed psychologist William James, "By far the most usual way of handling phenomena so novel that they would make for serious rearrangement of our preconceptions is to ignore them altogether, or to abuse those who bear witness for them." James is articulating what seems to be a universal psychological truth. when someone is bearing witness to something that makes others examine their preconceived assumptions about the nature of the world, they do so at their own risk. Ironically, in their dogmatic slumber, to use Kant's phrase, the corporatized physicists are actually blocking much-needed developments in their field. In their unwillingness to look at what is presenting itself in their own theory, they are avoiding their moral responsibility to follow the path towards truth, wherever that may lead. The most intuitive physicists, Einstein, Bohr, Wheeler, and Bohm come to mind, seem to be the ones who have the strongest social concerns. They are able to perceive the wider social and moral context of the problems that they are working on. There is a mutually reinforcing dynamic between the corporate physicist's personal psychological ego issues regarding confronting within themselves the liberating effects of the newly emerging quantum gnosis and the corporate power structure that they are a part of. These two factors, the internal unconscious dynamics operating within the psyche of physicists and the corporate and governmental power structures operating in the outside world, collude with and feed into each other in ways both covert and insidious. There is an unconscious, incentive-driven blindness intrinsic to remaining part of the global, corporate, institutional power structure. This is to say that individual scientists who are embedded in and part of this structure, be it in corporations or academia, have been unconsciously conditioned to avoid inquiring in directions that could threaten the power structure they depend on for their salaries, reputations, and funding for their research. This is a universal phenomenon at work within the human psyche through which power and control are reinforced and maintained at the expense of truth, operating across many different domains throughout the world. Many corporate scientists are part of an unscientific movement to suppress certain scientific discoveries, aiming to prevent, to quote evolutionary biologist Richard Lewontin, a divine foot in the door. Representatives of this psychologically reactionary and suppressive movement within physics self-righteously envision that they are valiantly defending science from the corrupting forces of subjectivity and irrationality. The irony is that in their unconscious reaction, they themselves are driven by the very irrational forces against which they are reacting. Einstein is alleged to have remarked, "It is harder to crack a prejudice than an atom." It is easy to confuse the map of our prevailing theories with the territory it describes, thinking the two are the same. There is a great proclivity in the physics community to fall under the spell of their prevailing map and believe nothing could possibly be in the territory that is not on the map, all evidence to the contrary. Oftentimes, there will be anomalies within physicists' theories, which is to say that the territory, that is, reality, will contradict the map. But these differences from the map will simply be rationalized or ignored. Such is the case with how mainstream physics factors out consciousness from their equation of reality, as the evidence that consciousness matters doesn't match with what they have been programmed to think of as true. This behavior seems antithetical to Wheeler's perspective, which was to find the strangest thing that you could and then explore it. The conviction that the map is unassailably accurate and complete is so strong for many physicists that in numerous cases where there is some discovery of an anomaly that is not predicted by their theory, these physicists refuse to even look at the evidence because they are utterly convinced that it could not be possible because it is not on their map. This is the modern-day equivalent of the Church refusing to look through Galileo's telescope to see his evidence for the discovery of Jupiter's moons, which contradicted the Church's view of the universe. This is entirely opposed to the open-minded, investigative spirit of science, which sees such anomalies as the growing edge of our knowledge that should warrant our most careful attention. And yet, this attitude is remarkably common in physics today. The source of this process is to be found within the unconscious psyche.